So we shall read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 9, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Mahatmanah, to mam partha divim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manasa gyatva bhuta adim avyayam mahatmanas tu mam partha divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam Mahatmanas tu mam partha Divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam Mahatmanas tu mam partha Divim prakritim ashrita Bhajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam
Mahatmanas tu mam partha
Divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam
Mahatmanas
tu mam partha Divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam Mahatmanas tu mam partha Divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam Manas tu mam partha Divim prakritim ashrita Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutadim avyayam Ladies
Mahatmanas tu mam partha
Devim prakritim
Devim Prakritim Ashritah
Ajanti Ananya Manaso
Yadva Bhutadim Avyayam Maha Atmanaha.
The great souls.
But
Mam
unto me.
Partha.
O son of Pritha.
Daivim.
Divine.
Prakritim.
Nature.
Ashrita.
Having taken shelter of.
Bhajanti.
Render service.
Ananya Manasa.
Without deviation of the mind.
Gyatva.
Knowing.
Bhuta.
Creation.
Adim.
The origin.
Avyayam.
Inexhaustible.
Translation. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Please repeat. O son of Pritha,
those who are not deluded,
the great souls,
are under the protection of the divine nature.
They are fully engaged in devotional service.
Because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Original and inexhaustible.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Translation again. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Hare Krishna. So we have gathered at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Madan Mohan and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada to understand who we are, what is the purpose of life, and how to attain the goal. And the Vedic literatures are meant to give information of the three categories of knowledge: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. When Lord Chaitanya was giving his instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami, he told the story of Sarvagya, the astrologer. The astrologer visited a poor man who was suffering tremendously, and he told him that actually you are not poor. Your father has left you a great treasure, but he died before he could tell you the whereabouts of the treasure. Then the astrologer said, if you the treasure has been left right in the property of your home, and you can try to dig for it on the northern side or the southern side or the western side, but you will not be able to reach it. But if you dig on the eastern side, then very quickly you will touch the treasure and you will become happy. And all of the miseries due to poverty will automatically disappear. Then Lord Chaitanya explained that the northern side, southern side, and western side referred to different processes for attaining the supreme, namely karma, jnana, and yoga. But digging on the eastern side referred to the process of bhakti. And by the process of bhakti, one can very quickly achieve the treasure of Krishna prema, which is the goal of life. When one experiences the treasure of Krishna prema, then all miseries of material existence are automatically gone. So Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70 years, arrived in New York City to deliver this knowledge to people in ignorance of who they are and what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. And he toiled with great difficulty to establish the Krishna consciousness movement. Once in Calcutta, there was some dissatisfaction in the temple. This was in 1973. And the devotees were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come. And when he finally did come, different devotees spoke to him of their difficulties, and then he called a whole meeting of all the devotees. And they expressed their difficulties to him. And he listened with great sympathy. He said they should form a management committee, and the committee should meet regularly, and whatever they decide should be recorded in a minute book, and then everyone should follow the decisions. But then Srila Prabhupada's mood changed, although he had been listening very patiently and sympathetically to what everyone said. Then Srila Prabhupada commented that as long as we are in the material world, there will be difficulties. But if we become too absorbed in what the problems are, and what to do about the problems, then we will forget Krishna. And instead of talking about Krishna, we will talk about the problems. And then Srila Prabhupada said that in his own life, he always followed the principle, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And because he followed that principle, he never had any complaints. Because his motto was, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. My dear devotees, please come forward because other devotees are coming into the temple room and they need space. Srila Prabhupada said that he had suffered a lot to establish the Krishna consciousness movement. And he described a little how he had suffered two heart attacks on the steamship while crossing the ocean. Then he described how in the United States he felt some pounding in his ear or in his head. He could not sleep at night. He said he suffered in so many ways, which he did not wish to discuss. But he never complained because his motto was everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Once our dear God brother, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, at that time he was Swarup Damodar Das Brahmachari. He said to Srila Prabhupada that I have just one department. He was referring to the Bhaktivedanta Institute. He said, I have just one department and there are so many problems. And sometimes it becomes very difficult to deal with all the problems. And you have the whole mission, the whole worldwide movement. You must have so many problems to deal with. How do you manage? And Srila Prabhupada replied, problems? I do not see any problems. I see only service to my Guru Maharaj. So that is the vision of a pure devotee. He doesn't regard the world as a place for his own sense gratification. Generally, people are engaged in the mad pursuit of money so that they can enjoy material happiness. Or now they madly pursue money for the sake of just maintaining what they have. But, and then they see problems. Problems because they are in the world of duality, in the world of happiness and distress, friends and enemies. But the pure devotee, he sees nothing but Krishna and Krishna's service. And what we might consider to be a difficulty, he sees as just another type of opportunity for service. The Bhagavad Gita explains that in the world of duality, we have to be neutral or transcendental to the dualities. The seasons change. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Depending on where we live, when it's cold, it may snow. And we have to shovel the snow from the driveway or the walkway. It's just a type of service. And when it's hot, the grass grows. We have to cut the grass. It's just another type of service. And when the weather changes in autumn, the leaves fall down, we have to rake up the leaves. It's just another variety of service. So for a devotee, there's no duality. It's just service. He sees only Krishna and Krishna's service. The Nectar of Devotion discusses bhoga and tyaga. Bhoga means enjoyment, and tyaga means renunciation. And in the material world, people work for sense gratification in gross or subtle ways. But then after some time, they become disgusted, tired. They want a break, so they go away. They want to forget the business, forget all the trials and tribulations. But then after being away for some time, they become restless. They feel they have to get back to their work and other responsibilities. So this all changing of positions, this changing of positions is always going on, because in the material world one can never be fully satisfied or happy in one position. He gets frustrated, he tries something else that feels good for a while, but then he gets frustrated there, then he goes back to the first position or tries a third position. But he's never satisfied, because whatever rasa or taste or mellow he experiences in the material world is temporary. And opposed to the temporary rasas or tastes or mellows of the material world is bhakti rasa, which is eternal, never ending and always increasing. So in bhakti rasa, there is no changing of positions. One is fixed in one position, the position of pure devotional service in one, in which one relishes bhakti rasa, which is unlimited and always increasing. So once Srila Prabhupada raised a question to his Guru Maharaj about bhoga and tyaga, about different positions in the material world. And he said that Rupa Goswami,
he renounced everything. His aristocratic position and lucrative post as a minister in the government, and lived just wearing a loincloth and sleeping under a different tree every night. Tyaga. And Ramananda Rai, he lived as a governor in Grihastha Ashram, in great material opulence, bhoga. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to be equally pleased with both of them. So how do we understand bhoga and tyaga? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied with reference to a Sanskrit term, that describes a heroine or a lady when her husband is away. When her husband is away, this was the Vedic culture, the lady would dress very simply. She wouldn't bathe herself very regularly and dress attractively. She would lie down and sleep on the floor. She would eat very simply. But when her husband came home, she would bathe, apply aromatic oils, and dress very nicely and attractively, and behave in a very happy and spirited way. The same lady, but behaving in very different ways, apparently. But in both cases, when the husband was at home and when the husband was away, the central point was the husband. She would live in a very renounced way, a very austere way, for the pleasure of the husband. Or she would dress in a very attractive way and behave in a very happy way for the pleasure of the husband. So in either situation, the central point was the same, was the husband or the pleasure of the husband. So Rupa Goswami, he lived in a very renounced way, but the central point was Krishna, pleasing Krishna. And Ramananda Roy, he lived in a very opulent position, but the central point was Krishna. So, as devotees, we are not interested in bhoga or tyaga. We are interested only in Krishna and Krishna's service. And according to our situation, which may come to us by our destiny, or which may be allotted to us by our spiritual master as our service to him, or place of service, Prabhudatta Desh, we may sometimes be in an opulent situation materially, or in an austere situation materially. But the devotee is not disturbed in either situation because he's not there to enjoy or renounce. How can he enjoy something that doesn't belong to him? That would be criminal. But how can he renounce something that doesn't belong to him? That would be absurd. It's like Srila Prabhupada says, if someone says, I renounce
the Golden Gate Bridge. What is the meaning of that? You don't own it. What is the meaning of your renouncing it? So we cannot renounce something that doesn't belong to us, and we can't enjoy something that doesn't belong to us. So this enjoyment and renunciation, bhoga and tyaga, they have no place in the life of a devotee. A devotee's life is only service to Krishna. And serving Krishna, of course, means with the goal to please him. And to please him, we have to know what he wants. And therefore, we read books like the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and so many other books that tell us what Krishna wants. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself tells us. Of course, the present verse is describing a mahatma, but indirectly the verse tells us what pleases Krishna, because by definition, a mahatma is someone who pleases Krishna. And so one qualification is that he's always thinking of Krishna. His mind is always on Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. We are meant to cultivate that consciousness in all of our activities. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Whatever the different activity is, we're meant to do it in consciousness of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada devised a program in India called the Life Membership Program, whereby the life members would contribute a certain amount, and they would get a set of Srila Prabhupada's books. They would get a subscription to Back to Godhead magazine. They would get the facility to stay in our guest facilities. And so Srila Prabhupada's explained in relation to the basic principle of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. So he explained that to always remember Krishna and never forget him, we must chant at least 16 rounds daily. He said that to always remember Krishna and never forget him, we must chant 16 rounds daily. And he said that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. But then he also said that we have other activities in the Krishna consciousness movement, such as distributing books and making life members. And in those activities, too, the goal is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. These are not ordinary activities, because in the course of these activities, our goal is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. And so we think of Krishna when we go out to distribute his books or enroll life members or whatever the service is related to the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement. But still, although all service is absolute, there are varieties of service, and Srila Prabhupada distinguished that although all the activities in Krishna consciousness are meant for remembering Krishna, but still, to actually remember Krishna, we have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India, when Srila Prabhupada first returned to India with some disciples from America, and we didn't really have any major centers of established in India. So one Western young man somehow met up with the group and started to travel with us. And it wasn't very common for Westerners to go to India then. And he was a nice fellow. But one day he asked Srila Prabhupada that if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And then he said, suppose it's late at night and I haven't finished my rounds, and some gentleman comes and he could become a life member. So should I stop chanting my rounds and make him a life member? I mean, if all the service is absolute, why do I have to chant 16 rounds? So Srila Prabhupada explained, but somehow the boy was a little stubborn on this point. He just kept insisting on the same point. And finally Srila Prabhupada said, why do you have to chant 16 rounds? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. And then he said, you know, if it's late at night and someone comes, you can make him a life member and you can still stay up and finish your rounds. Why are you so anxious for sleeping? But then he said, and this is just to emphasize the point of the 16 rounds, then he said, if you're so interested in sleeping, you can eat and sleep all day long, but you must chant 16 rounds. And then he looked at all the other devotees and he said, this is a special prerogative for him. So it's true, all service is absolute. And definitely when a devotee is transcendentally situated, he sees only Krishna and Krishna's service. But being conditioned souls coming from the material environment, we have to maintain a balance in our activities so that we can always remember Krishna and not forget him. And part of that balance is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra along with rendering service. Actually, the two go together, chanting Hare Krishna and rendering service. We can't just chant all day long like Haridas Thakur, without engaging in practical service. But at the same time, if we just engage in practical service and never chant, we won't be able to maintain our Krishna consciousness, and then, you know, our consciousness will become mundane, and instead of doing the activities for Krishna, we'll want to do them for ourselves. So we do both. And then the chanting inspires us in our practical service, but also to do our practical service nicely, we know we have to chant. So the two go together, and in fact the chanting is a prayer to the Lord. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Krishna, O Radharani, please engage me in your service. So when we're chanting, we're praying for service. So when Krishna gives us service, we should accept it gladly, gratefully. Once on a morning walk in Juhu, His Holiness Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, why have you prescribed 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, not 16 rounds. Minimum 16 rounds. If you can chant 16,000, it's welcome. So then Lokanath Swami said, but some devotees have prescribed for themselves minimum 20 rounds or more. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, who's stopping them? That's welcome. So, you know, Lokanath Swami was saying, but sort of like, but you prescribe 16 minimum and they're prescribing some other minimum. And Prabhupada said, that's fine, you can increase from 16, but you can't decrease. So then Lokanath Swami said, well, how do we know if we're imitating Haridas Thakur or following in his footsteps? And Srila Prabhupada replied, imitation is also good. If you're imitating Haridas Thakur, that's also good. But you cannot refuse service. If someone approaches you, some temple authority approaches you and says there's some service to be done, and you say, I can't do that service, I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur. Prabhupada said, that is not good. So we have to be sincere. Ultimately comes down to being sincere. And chant the holy name, hear Krishna Katha, and render service. Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado, by rendering service. And chanting is also service. Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado, beginning with the tongue, Swayam Eva Spuratyada, Krishna reveals himself. Yeah, I'll conclude. Vaisheshika Prabhu related one incident in which a devotee had was discussing with Srila Prabhupada, like, what is the most important verse in the Vedic scriptures? And the devotee said, Harinama, 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 Ivakevalam. And Srila Prabhupada said, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Tata Devi Tata Guru. That, of course, both are true, there's no doubt, but Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir, that verse means one who has implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, to him all the truths of the Vedas are revealed. In other words, Krishna. Krishna reveals himself. Swayam Eva Spuratyada. So that's really the conclusion, that we should be ready to do anything for the service of Guru and Krishna. Of course, under ordinary circumstances, we should always chant Kirtaniya Sadahari and at the same time do service. But there should be, ultimately, there should be no conditions. Whatever Guru and Krishna want, I'm prepared to do. And in that mood, Krishna will reveal himself. Hare Krishna. So, I believe we have about 5 minutes. Are there any questions or comments? Yes? What is your name?
My name is Dikshit.
Okay.
My question is can you please elaborate on how to remember Krishna while working or while studying or in job? Say, yeah, we chant 16 rounds, but when we go out, we need to deal with many people. We need to study many things that are not directly related to Krishna, but how to see that in relation with Krishna?
Well, I'm sure you've experienced that when you chant japa, your mind wanders. The same applies to when you do work. Your mind is wandering. It applies to students when they're doing their studies. Their mind wanders. The mind is always wandering. But we still study, we still work, we still chant. So when you're working or when a student is studying, what's the harm if their mind wanders to Krishna? It's wandering anyway. Why not wander to Krishna? Srila Prabhupada has one disciple named Alfred Ford, the great-grandson of Henry Ford. And he was a brahmachari for a while. He came to Bombay with Srila Prabhupada. He was serving. The first time I saw him, I didn't know who he was. I saw this new person wearing saffron, lifting the suitcases out of the trunk of the car. And I asked, who's this? That's Ambarish Das. That's Alfred Ford. So after spending about 2 weeks in Bombay, he was going to leave, and he was discussing his future with Srila Prabhupada. And he asked Srila Prabhupada what he should do when he goes back home to Detroit. And Srila Prabhupada told him that he should work because he wanted people to know that someone can be a devotee and at the same time, you know, live like an ordinary gentleman and work and have responsibilities and family and so on. Of course, in those days, most of the devotees were fully engaged in service in the temples. There were not very many who did have jobs and work outside. But he specifically wanted Ambarish Das too, sort of like Bogan Tyaga, so he was like the Ramananda Rai in the story. And then Ambarish asked, well, do I have to work in the Ford Motor Company? And Prabhupada said, no, you can do any work. It doesn't have to be in the family business. And then he asked Prabhupada, what do I do for association while I'm working? And Srila Prabhupada replied, if while you're working, you're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, that will be your association. So we just have to have that consciousness, not the activity so much, but more the consciousness that we're doing it for Krishna. But it can't be duplicitous. that, you know, oh, I'm doing this for Krishna, but actually within your heart you're doing it for yourself, for your relatives. But genuinely, if you're doing it for Krishna, to keep your body and soul together so you can serve Krishna, or to maintain your household so that in the household the family members can serve Krishna, or if you get a little extra, you can contribute to the deities or book distribution or festivals, then it's genuine, and then you're Krishna conscious even while working. Yes.
Another question. Thank you, Maharaj, for the answer. Many times I hear devotees saying, we need to go back home, back home, back home. But, you know, basic principle what we hear is we derive happiness by hearing and always remembering Krishna. And what else we do there back home? I mean, is it something different? Or do we derive more happiness there? Or are there more facilities to remember Krishna while there?
Well, that's a good question. You know, again, someone asked a similar question to Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk, and Srila Prabhupada replied that going back to Godhead is a matter of consciousness. It's not really that you go physically from one place to another place. So a pure devotee, he's already back to Godhead. You know, even if he's in the material world, he's already back to Godhead. Jivan Mukta. That's pure devotional service. Yeah. I mean, Srila Prabhupada explained, and I am quoting Srila Prabhupada because of the nice way in which he expressed things, but everything he said can be traced to scripture. I could give you scriptural references to support the things he said. And so what I'm going to say now is in the third canto, but as Srila Prabhupada put it, even while engaged in devotional service, one can be influenced by the modes of nature. So a devotee who's influenced by the mode of ignorance will think, I'm the only real devotee here. Everyone else is nonsense. Then one influenced by the mode of passion will think, I want to be the best devotee. I want to be known as the best devotee. And one in the mode of goodness will think, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. But one who's transcendentally situated will think, I just want to please Krishna. So to make any progress in spiritual life, there has to be some influence of the mode of goodness. Even if there's a lot of influence of other moods, there has to be some influence of the mode of goodness, because the mode of goodness is the mode of enlightenment, illumination. That has to be there to some extent. We are in the material world, we are suffering, we do want to get out. It's not pure devotional service, but it's better than the people who want to stay in the material world and try to enjoy, like pigs and dogs and camels and whatnot. So that's better. That's better to want to go back to Godhead for someone materially conditioned. But pure devotee, he doesn't even have that conception, I want to go back to Godhead. He just wants to serve Krishna, however Krishna wants. Okay. Any other? Yes?
thank you, Maharaj. What is one thing that, I mean, I always think of, you know, this life is so limited, and we can't understand ourselves properly because we spend most of our time in researching on all other things except ourselves. So, can you summarize the whole philosophy in one line?
Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. You are the eternal servant of Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Holiness Giriraj Swami Ki Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.